I have a story real quick. I got an amazing email from one of our amazing listeners. It says, "Hey, I realized my interest in aviation. I have listened to all of your podcast episodes. I will soon begin my flight training and love the stories you both tell. So I have a funny one for you.
Welcome to the Aviation Mentors Podcast, the podcast that takes your dreams of flight and turns it into reality.
Sponsored by Strass Financial, financing your flight training.
For pilots, by pilots. I'm Brandon Martini, a commercial pilot and flight instructor.
And I'm Carson Vasquez, I'm a private pilot.
Whether you're a seasoned pilot or beginner with dreams of flight,
Aviation Mentors is your source for expert insights, industry trends, and inspiring stories.
So fasten your seatbelts and prepare for this incredible journey through the skies.
And stay connected with us on social media for exclusive content.
And visit our website at www.aviationmentors.com and let us be your co-pilot on this adventure.
Welcome back, everybody, to another awesome and, of course, amazing episode of the Aviation Mentors Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. Today, we're going to have some listener questions, just like we've actually done for the past 3 or 4 weeks, which I'm actually loving these. It's actually giving us quite a bit of, different content and things that people are really enjoying to hear. But
we enjoy it. We can tell other people do too.
Yeah, exactly. But today, we're going to do something a little different. Carson's going to answer all the questions today.
Oh, snap.
And then, actually, I have a shout out I want to make, which I have to pull up on my phone. But I have a shout out. I didn't tell anybody about this. I didn't tell Mark, a producer, about it. And I didn't tell Carson about it.
You give me a shout out?
No, not for Carson. No. No shout outs for Carson today. So let's go through the very first question we have. How do I prepare for unexpected weather changes during VFR flight? Oh, I have a great story, by the way.
I really like the phrasing of that question, because preparing and unexpected are total contradictions. But you can do a lot to mitigate the unexpected. And part of that is just a really good pre-flight planning. That comes from going through the weather yourself on aviationweathercenter.gov, going through it again on 4Flight before you take off. And the most important part is calling WX Brief and hashing out your concerns with them. That was always my favorite thing to do. I would ask questions. I had them on the phone. I might as well start asking.
I got a side quest on this, Carson.
What do you have?
On Thursday, I have a conversation with somebody from Leidos, actually. And I believe he might become a guest on our podcast. If he can get approved, he will be on our podcast as well.
That would be so cool.
This coming Thursday, talking to somebody from Leidos. By the way, that is flight service, by the way. Back in the day, it was somebody else. I can't remember who it was. It's weird how the people you talk to, like on a daily basis, you already forget their company. But Leidos Flight Service is now who we talk to. And yeah, we're going to conversate with them on this Thursday. It's going to be after this episode comes out, obviously.
Really excited for that.
I'm really hoping he's going to be able to get approval to be able to come on the podcast. And if he is, we're going to have an in-depth conversation on weather.
Which is not your favorite topic? It is your favorite topic.
That's right. My favorite topic, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, WX Brief, once I found out about that tool and I understood just exactly how the call is going to go, what I need to prepare before the call, you know, your tail number, what kind of equipment you have on board, where you're going, just the real basics of your flight that's taking place. I learned to be really comfortable with actually calling them and just talking to them like a normal person. I mean, besides all the formalities that you have to get past, a lot of it is just asking questions back and forth, and they're pretty honest with their answers too. They're humans too. They're like, I wouldn't go on this flight. If it's you're trying to maintain a VFR flight, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, actually, I've talked to a lot of briefers. That's what you call them, by the way. They're briefers. Talked to a lot of briefers, and they've told me, yeah, this is not good for a VFR flight. They wouldn't say, don't do this or you shouldn't do this. They're not going to use any of that language.
They're very gestalt about it.
Yeah, gestalt. By the way, if you don't know what gestalt means, you should probably look it up. That is a term that I've learned through some of my business friends, and I've turned Carson onto that term, so now he's using it as well. But it basically means share from experience. And a lot of them are not pilots, so they actually can't share from the experience, but they do look at the weather on a daily basis and know when people are flying VFR or IFR, and based on your type of aircraft, things like that. And they're really personable. And speaking of personable, I have a story real quick, like I was saying at the beginning of the podcast. So I actually got and I'm pulling up my phone right here. I got an amazing email from one of our amazing listeners. Did you get one too?
I don't think I did.
Yeah, of course Carson didn't.
Dang. You guys need to send me more emails.
So I'm going to give a shout out to one of our listeners. His name is Kyle J. I don't know if he wants us to tell his last name, so I'm not going to say that. And he listened to all of our podcast, and I'm really stoked.
That's cool.
Thank you so much, Kyle, for listening to our podcast. We get a lot of emails over to us, but this one actually I really enjoyed because it kind of resonated with me. And I'm going to read Kyle's email verbatim, and I hope it's not sharing too much, Kyle. So if it is, please email me back and I'll call you and I'll apologize. But if you like it, please also let me know. It says, "Hey, I realized my interest in aviation. I have listened to all of your podcast episodes." That's why I say thank you, by the way. "I will soon begin my flight training and love the stories you both tell. So I have a funny one for you." And as soon as he said he had a funny one for me, I had my attention. I was like, oh, this is great.
I love stories.
I love stories, and especially funny, hilarious ones. So that's great. "I went to do my Discovery flight and always thought ATC were very strict. But while we were in the pattern waiting to land, Idaho Falls Regional Airport, by the way, I listened to the following conversation between us, ATC, and a commercial flight that was landing." Imagine how that was going to go, Carson. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's going to be like, 2-6 right, cleared to land. Do not deviate from anything. No go arounds. Of course, you're thinking that, right? That's probably what you're thinking.
It's all super formal and...
super formal. You're thinking, oh, there's no way anybody's going to mess up anything. There's no conversations that are going to be weird. And this is what happened. "Other plane, ATC almost hit a bald eagle near landing. It's just hovering above the landing zone." So I'm assuming probably above like the 1,000-foot markers or wherever the landing area might be on that particular airport. ATC said, "That would have been very unpatriotic of you." "My instructor, everyone knows hawks are better than eagles." ATC, "I agree." "My instructor, don't worry, we'll take it out on our landing." And Kyle said after that, he said, "We were dying laughing and it definitely helped me realize that ATC is just another person that want to enjoy their job as well." And then he said he loved our podcast, all the nice, amazing things that gives me goosebumps just even reading it out loud. So thank you, Kyle, for your amazing email. But that has a really good segue into one of our other questions. And it said, "How can I improve my radio communications with ATC?" That was one of our questions for the day. And I'll tell you this, it goes with the unexpected weather changes thing, because ATC is just another person that you can talk to. And honestly, when you get too nervous, all you have to do is tell them, "Hey, I don't understand. Can you please break it down? I'm nervous. I'm scared." You can say all of those things to them if you really need to. Now, if you say, "I'm scared," is there a repercussion involved?
Could be.
Sometimes it's, "Hey, I need to go talk to your instructor when we get on the ground." Sometimes it is, "Hey, you need to go get some more training and they're going to have a phone call for you and they're going to tell you why you need to be safer." Or it could be, they're just going to have a laugh with you and just talk you through it. Or they're going to keep you safe. Their primary objective is to keep you 100% safe.
Not to get you in trouble, not to be mean to you, not to make your life harder. Their whole thing is to keep you safe. You have to understand, they're liable to keep you safe. They want to keep you safe as much as you want to be safe. And the only difference is you're the one in the plane and they're the one looking at the screen keeping you safe.
Yeah. I mean, I even asked for, I remember what it was. It was special VFR. I was asking for special VFR and I didn't ask for it properly. And this was when I was a really kind of novice pilot. I wasn't even instrument rate. Maybe I was instrument rate. I don't know. It was a long time ago. It was a decade ago. And I asked for special VFR and I didn't really know how to ask for it. And I was asking for it improperly. And the controller was talking to me like, "Do you even know what you're doing right now?" And
do you know what special VFR is?
And I basically made it sound like, "Oh, I just want to get out so I can go get to that hole that's like 2 miles away and I can see it. And I want to go up and I want to go over and I want to leave because I know this afternoon it's going to be clear when I come back." And that was my whole plan, right? But he made me feel like I didn't know what I was doing asking for this. So that actually told me a lot. At the time, I looked at it like, "Oh, wow, he was making me feel like an idiot." And then when I looked back at it, I don't know, maybe not that day, but later on, and especially today, I look back at it and I'm thinking, well, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't have flown that flight that day, because although it was kind of VFR.
And you knew what you wanted.
And I knew what I wanted and I knew how to get there. I didn't really know how to get there. So maybe that was the missing puzzle piece that I needed to go with an instructor on. And I never flew that day, by the way. I ended up going to the run-up area. I went up to the runway, asked for that, felt like an idiot. He said pretty much no. And I just said, "Oh, can I have a high-speed taxi and then get off at the runway at Chino Airport?" And then I went back and taxied back over to the FBO.
There's nothing wrong with scratching a day.
There's nothing wrong. Even that day, by the way, I went over to the runway and I took off and I got like 2 feet off the ground and then I pulled back so I had the intent of flying. So I think I counted most of that day for flight time, but I don't really remember. I don't remember. I think I did, but I don't know. I'd have to go back and check. It was 10 years ago, right?
Yeah. I mean, ATC is just human. Like I was flying into Ontario because I love night flying and we're talking about something with me and my friend that I was flying with and he wasn't a pilot, but we were just hanging out, having a good time. We were cleared to land on the left runway and we landed. ATC, just being human, was like, "Hey, do you guys have anywhere to go tonight?" And Ontario ATC is always just the coolest. They're so nice there.
They're so rad, yeah.
And I was like, no, we're just hanging out, flying around. He was like, if you want to stay on the left runway, he's like, no one's coming. You can just stay and watch the planes land on the right runway. That was the coolest experience I've had at an airport.
You know what time it is, Carson?
Time's a brain.
It's time to talk about one of our favorite companies.
Which company would that be?
Aviation Mentors is excited to be sponsored by the one and only Stratus Financial, dedicated to supporting the next generation of future aviators.
You know, Stratus Financial really understands the financial challenges that students face in pursuing their aviation dreams. That's why they offer student loans specifically tailored to aspiring pilots.
With competitive rates and flexible repayment plans, Stratus Financial helps take your aviation education to new heights.
So go visit their website today at www.stratus.finance. Just to be clear, that is not .com, it's .finance. And embark on your journey towards a sky full of possibilities.
Carson, it's time to get back to what we do best.
The show.
The show.
So I have a reason for that. By the way, this is unconfirmed. I've never actually asked a controller this. I believe it to be true. And whether or not I believe it because I think it's awesome, or if it's actually true, it's here nor there. We have to ask a controller to let us know. I actually have a couple controllers' phone numbers, my phone I can reach out to.
Is it the towers? You're just going to call the tower?
I can call the tower. I actually met a controller when I was going to Vegas one time. And her and I hit it off. We were having a great time talking airplanes. When I was going from Dallas to Vegas, she was on her way to a controller conference. And I was on my way to Vegas for some other conference. And we were talking about airplane stuff. So
that's cool.
I could call her too, but I could call a lot of different controllers. This is what I heard about Ontario and also other large airports. Controllers get paid on a yearly basis based on how many flights they actually control. So if you are a Class Bravo or Charlie or Delta, if you're at a Delta and you're controlling a ton of airplanes and you're at a Charlie, like Ontario, that controls a lot less airplanes, you're actually not paid as much.
No way.
Yeah, that's what I've been told.
That makes sense.
It does make sense. I mean, if you're
working less.
That makes
sense, and it doesn't. I mean, the type of planes you're controlling are higher value. I mean,
but it's way easier. They're flying all IFR in like set time windows. If you're controlling little small airplanes, I think it's a lot harder actually, which is really the opposite of a lot of our industry, right? Like when you become a flight instructor, you're a low time pilot. When you retire, you're a high time pilot and you no longer instruct. It's the opposite of everything else in life. I think it's the same thing. If you go work a larger airport, I think a Bravo is totally different. But if you go work at Charlie, where you have a lot of large aircraft, but lower volume versus a Delta with high volume, smaller aircraft, it's a little bit more difficult.
I can only imagine. I mean, I'd rather be a controller at Ontario than Riverside.
I would too. To be honest, we've been talking about 15 minutes or so, and this was supposed to be a bunch of listener questions and stuff, and it actually ended up being two. If we wanted to talk about the one that they got sent over to me, which was a great comment, which actually spurred a little conversation. And then unexpected weather changes. And just to finish off on the unexpected weather changes, I wanted to mention one thing. I have been flying several times where I call the briefer, I do everything I'm supposed to do, and maybe I leave 30 or 45 minutes late. And you would think, oh, that's not going to change very much, right?
That can change everything.
It can change everything. Even if you've looked at the TAFs, you've looked at the future weather reports, you've looked at all these other things, sometimes weather can change unexpectedly. I know I was actually on a podcast earlier and my co-host on the other podcast, which is a financial podcast, he got an alert on his phone and I bet you it's going to be edited out because Mark's also our editor. He got an alert on his phone and it was beeping and blaring like crazy and it was all about an earthquake alert.
Oh, you guys were in an episode when that happened?
We were doing an episode and the earthquake alert. But anything unexpected can happen, especially when you're flying. And even if you look into the future. So a couple things you can do is know what's behind you and know what's in front of you. I know that sounds so stupid, right? Oh, yeah, of course, I know the weather in front of me might be bad or it could be getting worse. But you know right where you just came from is fine.
It was clear.
It was clear. Now, there's some caveats to this. So when you're in this VFR, great flying weather, and you know that you're going into deteriorating weather, but it should be good when you land, you should be able to turn around full circle and go back to your original airport or go back to another airport, have a plan B. I always have a plan B, a plan C, a plan D. I always have all of those types of plans whenever I'm flying, by the way. If I lose an engine, where am I going to go? If the weather changes unexpectedly to IFR, where am I going to go? Am I over mountainous terrain? I got this iPhone strictly because it has the GPS chip in it that allows me to make phone calls via satellite. Like there's always a backup plan, right? Well, you can normally just turn around. But if the weather is deteriorating in front of you and deteriorating behind you, you need to have another plan. So always think about that as well. So those are different things you could think about on the unexpected weather changes. You never know how that's going to kind of turn out for you. So make sure you're thinking about in front of you behind you and also surrounding you. So you can ensure that that's something you're really looking at.
And it's also good to just have a couple known airports that you're familiar with, or at least you know how to find them or where they're at on your route or near your route. And worst case scenario, you have to go land somewhere. That's the aviation equivalent of pulling over.
It is.
And yeah. There's nothing wrong with it. There's wrong with waiting.
I've done that on an IFR flight before. I was on my way to Vegas one time, and I think I probably talked about this maybe a year or so episode ago. I was on my way to Vegas. Actually, I know I did, because when I did my DPE interview, they asked me about this particular thing, and they asked me why I did it. And I'm like, well, am I going to fly into this cloud of ice and die, or am I going to go land? And I was flying IFR to Vegas one day. I did everything properly. I looked at the weather in the future, looked at it in the past, or what was going to happen in the past, essentially. And I made sure that this was going to be a great flight. Well, as soon as I flew into this big, giant cumulonimbus cloud, I was like, this is not where I'm supposed to be. And I made a 180-degree turn while IFR. And after I made my turn, I called up ATC, and I knew that I could go below and I could go land in Barstow. I think it was Barstow, from California to Vegas. And I did. I went and landed in Barstow. And then I just flew, like, I don't know, 2,000 feet AGL all the way to Vegas about an hour later after I calmed myself down. Because that was a nerve-wracking experience.
It's always nerve-wracking when things don't go.
I mean, it was ice just right on my windshield.
Yeah. And you, of course, had all the de-icing gear on your plane, right?
I did not have de-icing
exactly. gear. Exactly. So landing, de-ice. There's nothing wrong.
It was a Piper Arrow. Yeah. So with that being said, that's all I can really say about unexpected weather and my perspective, as well as obviously our listener question about ATC. So thank you again for sending that direct over to us. We really appreciate it. I'm telling you, we get quite a few just niceties on emails, and we really appreciate them. We always show it to each other. We always talk about it. I saved this one as an unexpected one because I liked the story so much. I wanted to surprise Carson with it. So I actually left it on my phone unread for, I don't know, a week or a week and a half, even though I read it, but unread so I can get back to
recording?
It. Just for an next episode.
That's recording. Cool.
Yeah. So outside of that, you have anything to add to that, Carson?
I don't think so. I mean, I've had to make unexpected landings. I was coming back from Sacramento, and I got all the way to Bakersfield on the way back to Riverside. And that's where I had to pull over for the night. It wasn't safe to keep going. Mm-hmm. And when I left Sacramento in the morning, the briefer assured me I'd be able to get home A-OK. And that's how fast weather can change.
I mean, how did you get home that day?
That night, Maddie's dad came and picked us up. And we had to come back with one of my instructors that was instrument rated because it was, the storm came in out of nowhere. And we had to get home.
I remember that day, by the way. He said, I'm leaving your airplane in Bakersfield.
Yeah, but I actually had a plan to come back and get it, as opposed to a lot of people. I'd be like, oh, it's the flight school's problem.
That is a good point.
I did the responsible thing there.
He totally did the responsible thing. I said, Carson, what's the plan? And he laid it out. I was like, sounds like a great plan to me.
Yeah, I guess it costs more money. Sure. Will it use more time? Yeah. But
Got more hours.
We're talking about
this.
Yeah.
And we're talking about the sunshine. We're talking about flying some more. We're telling great airplane stories. So yeah.
Could I have flown in 30 knot winds, with wind shear? Yeah. I could land it. Would I have landed gracefully? Nope.
I mean, it was past the POH's limitations.
Yeah. You shouldn't be doing that.
Should not. With that being said, thank you so much again for joining us. Carson, I'm going to let you do the plug for Aero Summit.
Okay, guys. May 21st through the 23rd in Las Vegas.
We have like 350 attendees so far.
That's insane because
it's going to be the biggest non-air show event. And by the way, we also have a day three, which I'm sure Carson is going to tell you, but a day three that is, I know our marketing team keeps calling it an air show. It's not an air show. It's like an air exhibit. We have manufacturers coming out. We've got food trucks. We've got super cool things at North Las Vegas Airport. So I'm stoked.
It's enough that I'm staying an extra 2 days so I can enjoy that whole thing and then have a day to get home.
All right. Outside of this, thank you so much again for joining us. If you'd like to reach out to either one of us, please reach out to us on our emails, brandon@aviationmentors.com. Obviously, I get them. One of our listener stories came up today, or carson@aviationmentors.com as well. He doesn't get as very many emails, so it doesn't really matter as much.
That was cool.
Also, please like, follow, subscribe to all the things on social media, as well as share our content. It really helps our podcast grow. And even more importantly, it helps the aviation community grow. And we just want more pilots out there. So thank you again for helping. And we really appreciate you.
Yes, we do. And as a wrap up for the day, everyone, remember, we're here to guide you in your aviation journey. So fly safe and enjoy the ride.
See you guys.
See ya.